The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number...
If I'm not mistaken...
You're probably not.
95?
It is number 95. You are good.
Did my homework.
The countdown to 100 is on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have confirmed number 100, have we not?
We have.
So it's going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
And we say this a lot. Reach out to us. Let us know who you would love to hear from. Because a lot of times we just go through our friends or we reach out and say, hey, this person would be great. The person that we have this week is an inspiration. Probably part of the reason why somebody like Julia says, I don't know if you've ever heard of a girl by the name of Amy, but she is an inspiration. You must get her on the podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty definitive. You must.
When you get DM messages from people that say, Amy, 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 it's probably a person that we should maybe get.
Yeah, and then you check out her YouTube channel and you just think, this girl's got something to say.
If you ever thought to yourself, my day has been really tough, if you've ever thought, I don't think it could ever, get more difficult, if you watch a video of Amy's, and we're really being honest here, it puts all of our complaints, I think, out the window.
Yeah, and you just are kind of left there in awe as to just your positivity and resourcefulness.
So we would like to welcome this week our guest who there's no more complaining about us because we want to hear all about you, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. So we like to ask the skilled testing question because we never know where it's going to go. Amy, who are you and where did you come from?
So I am Amy Brooks. I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I am a motivational speaker, an author, an artist, a sewer. And I just so happen to have been born without arms and legs.
And this might be a dumb question, and I'm going to ask it anyways. At what point or when did you realize that maybe you were a little different than all the other kids?
That's a really hard question. I don't know. I mean, I think I always knew that I was different. It was never weird to me. If that's a way to explain it, I don't know. Obviously, I didn't look like other children, whenever I was growing up, but I was just always me. It was never this moment where I was like, wow, I'm different from the person sitting next to me, I don't know. That's a hard question. I just always knew that I was.
But being different isn't always a bad thing, right? It seems like you're really able to embrace who you are and had a great foundation. Is there anything specific that you can attribute that confidence to?
Oh, absolutely. My parents, I was adopted at when I was 2 years old. I was placed in a foster home at 8 days old because I was abandoned at the hospital by the woman who gave birth to me. They didn't want me because of my condition, and I was placed in a foster home. And my mom, she said as soon as she hung up from the conversation with the caseworker to come pick me up, she said she knew that I was supposed to be theirs, and the name Amy came to her. And that had never happened to her before. They had had multiple foster babies before me, and it never happened after. So I'm the only one that they adopted, but, that was God all the way, and he placed me in a faith-filled family, and I grew up in a faith-filled home, and my parents' strength and willingness to do whatever it took to make me thrive is definitely the reason that I am the way that I am today.
So faith obviously was then a big part of your life.
Oh, yes, from the very beginning.
Now, just for people who aren't too familiar with your story, what is the very rare condition that you were born with?
So it's called tetrafocomelia. And when you break it down, it just means seal limbs. If you put me up against a picture of a seal, they have little, flippers, I guess. But my extension of arms are much smaller than a seal. That's just how they diagnose it.
So then as you were growing up, then you still, you got to experience everything that everybody else did. You went to school and you got to, have friends and be with everybody else, right? It's not like you were sheltered in any sort of way.
Absolutely not. My parents were such advocates for me, especially my mom in that area as far as education. She got me into a public school. They didn't want to, they were unsure about having me, but my mom had a meeting with them and brought me, and she, you know, laid it out and said, listen, I am positive that my daughter will thrive in this condition. And I mean, in this environment, and she needs to be here with other students. And so I went to public school my whole life, and I didn't have special privileges other than in high school. I was able to leave my classroom a few minutes early in order to get to my next class, just so that because I had somebody helping me, and they didn't need to be late to their class as well. So I took my own notes. You know, I did everything myself. I did my own homework, and it took me longer to do my homework and everything just because of, you know, the physical challenges, but I did everything myself.
And what I appreciate, though, is that, and as we continue to talk, we're going to hear about all these different things that you accomplish and that you're able to do. What was school life like for you? What was the reaction? Because kids can be jerks.
Absolutely. To be honest, I really didn't experience much bullying at all. I think that was God. But I was really, really quiet in school, and to be honest, I hated school. it was so much work for me, and I didn't really experience the bullying. I had people who loved to be around me, who loved to help me, who would stick up for me in an instant. You know, I even experienced times where, you know, the class bully would be there for me, you know. The people that didn't, you know, the ones that people didn't want to mess with would would be there for me at times. So I was really blessed in that way. Of course, there was teasing that went on behind my back. You know, my friends would find out about it and take care of it or go to a teacher. Thankfully, you know, I didn't really experience anything physical or to my face. And so that was awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, you're saying how in school you did everything for yourself, just took a little longer, and you have a YouTube channel. How does she do it? Was it difficult learning to do certain things, or is it because that's all you knew? It was just natural for you to do it that way?
Yeah, I mean, some things are hard for me to figure out. Some, you know, certain new things are harder for me to figure out if I've never done them before. But like you said, yeah, this is all I know. So I've always had to figure out a different way of doing it. And my parents, my mom especially, they would show me how something was done, how they did it with their hands, and then I would just figure out how to do it in my own way, you know? So yeah, I'd say some things took longer to figure out, but once I figured out a couple of things, then I know what I'm able to do and maybe how to tackle the next challenge.
The thing I love about how does she do it is that you are breaking down those walls, because I'm sure that there are people who ask these questions who are always wondering, well, how does this, you know, how does she shower? How does this happen?
How does she fold laundry?
Yeah. What to you was the hardest thing to learn?
I would say just recently, I mean, within the last 2 years, I've started sewing. That's really been a challenge for me. Problem arose that I needed a purse to carry my cell phone in for whenever I was out and about, and typically the straps of a purse are not the length that I need them, and so I figured I'm just going to make something for myself. And I bought a little child sewing machine, and it really didn't work very well, and I bought another one, and it got me through one little purse. I realized that I really love to do it, but it's really been a challenge for me to figure out how to do each step. So I've been making bags and purses ever since, and even a small quilt since then. But, yeah, I mean, every time I start a new pattern that I've never done before, there's new challenges that I have to figure out. But I like challenges. I like to conquer things. And in the end, you know, say, look what God helped me to be able to do, you know.
Is it difficult for you to ask for help? Are you kind of used to it now?
Yeah, it's hard for me to ask for help. I will always try to do it myself first. I will try it different ways, and if I really can't do it, then I will ask for help. But I always try my hardest to figure out how to do it myself. And that drives my mom crazy, because she watches me struggle a lot of times, and she'll be like, just give it to me, let me do it. And I'm like, no, I can do it, I'll do it.
that's what's so inspiring for a lot of people, is that quite often we let the challenges in our lives get the better of us, and yet you just see it as another thing to conquer.
Yeah, like you said, it's something to conquer, and I love to do that because I know God's with me.
When it comes to you and your life and your story, when did you know? When did you realize? When were you told that you were adopted?
My mom says that she told me when I was very young, though I didn't remember it, and maybe it just wasn't a big deal to me when she told me. And then I remember her going through documents or something, and I had seen a paper that said I was adopted, and they give you a code name in the hospital when you're abandoned without a name. And I saw that, and I was like, I was adopted? And she was like, yeah, I told you that. And I was like, oh, I don't remember. Okay. And just went about my day. You know, it didn't really mean anything to me because I was with the family that I knew I was supposed to be with. And, you know, that was it for me.
I look at it, though, and I mean, you being abandoned and you given these challenges, but you're so positive. Do you ever get angry? Have you ever just wanted to scream and shout because of your situation?
Because of my situation, no. But do I want to scream and shout sometimes because of something that's happened? You know, just everyday people things. Yeah, I mean, I struggle with things, but they typically don't have anything to do with my challenges. You know, maybe I'm clumsy and I drop something 10 times, but other people might drop things 10 times, you know. I don't get frustrated over why I am the way that I am, because I know that I'm here for a purpose, and that's something that my parents instilled in me from the very beginning. And also, my mom has given me the perspective of there's always somebody out there who is in a worse situation than you are, and it's good to keep your life and your circumstances in perspective. And, you know, I've been really blessed with the family that I have and the people that he's placed in my life over the years. So when I do get frustrated, and even though it has nothing to do usually with my circumstances or my physical circumstances, I just have to realign my perspective and remember what my mom taught me.
Have you ever thought about, have you ever reached out to your birth mom?
No, I am not interested. She's not really my mom, first. Secondly, a lot of people ask me, you know, if I have forgiven her for abandoning me. And really, there's nothing to forgive her for. I've never met her. I don't know her. And all she did was send me to the perfect family that God had for me. And I think to forgive somebody, you have to have been hurt by them in some way. And the forgiveness is for your sake, not for theirs. And I wasn't hurt by her in any way. So there's nothing for me to forgive her for. But so really, I don't really have any, you know, interest in finding her. I think that God placed me with the perfect family from the start.
At what point in your life did you start discovering your passion for artwork?
I would say I was really young, and this is my sister's fault. She used to love she used to love to paint those like ornaments in plaster of Paris houses that at Christmas time that would go maybe under your tree or on your mantle. And she was always very crafty, and so you know, wanting to be like my big sister, I wanted to do those things with her all of the time. And so it started off with me painting those things. And then, I don't know if you guys remember those puff paint shirts in the 80s.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. I was just into a lot of crafting things. And, you know, I drew a little bit, but I wasn't great at it. And, in fact, I stopped doing that for a long time until a friend came along and encouraged me to try again. But it was still something that I was never confident in, and until I started sewing. For me, I just love to be creative in a lot of different ways. And yeah, like I said, I started at a young age because of my sister.
How old are you?
I am 37.
You're in our wheelhouse then.
I know. 81, yeah. Baby? I'm an 81 baby.
Yeah, I'm an 81 baby, yes.
Yes, it was a good year.
You're making 80s references. I'm like, hold on here.
Yeah.
I'm like, puffy paint shirts? Yes.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I mean, we talk in the sense that, I mean, you art and author and motivational speaker, there's really nothing that you can't do. What is your goal, though, when you have an opportunity to step in front of an audience and to talk with them?
You know, for me, like I said about perspective, I just hope to change people's perspective about their own lives. That's why I share my story. And when we belong to God, we shouldn't have that victim mentality, because we're not. We are conquerors when we are his children, and that we are supposed to take these circumstances and face them head on and let him take care of them. When we feel like we're a victim, that's when Satan takes a hold of us. Then we can't do anything. That becomes a prison for us whenever we feel like we're a victim. And so I just hope to change people's perspective whenever I go and share my story. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He has proven that in my life over and over again.
What's the reaction then? What have you had people come up to you and say after you're done speaking?
That they feel like they're horrible for complaining about little things. But, you know, I assure them that I complain about tiny things too at times. But I just hope that they get that they can do whatever it is that God has placed on their hearts. And it's never meant to belittle anybody, but just to change their perspective on how they think that they can accomplish something.
We'll get back to the podcast after this.
Hey, it's James Curtis from Between the Grooves, part of the Faith Strong Today podcast network. I'm here to let you in on a little secret. Getting a great night's sleep is as easy as clicking a mouse. Stop waking up in the middle of the night to fluff or flip your pillow. Get a MyPillow. And have I got a deal for you. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and enter the promo code FAITH. And get 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off, plus free shipping. That's MyPillow.com, promo code FAITH. Now let's get back to the Why Me Project.
Do you remember your first speaking engagement?
Yeah, it was in 2014, I think, yeah. And it was in North Carolina, and it was in a huge Baptist church that could fit thousands. And I was like, great, just throw me in with the sharks my first time. I was super nervous, but, you know, God handled it, and he handles it every single time. But I am nervous every single time.
I think a lot of us are nervous because you're sharing a part of who you are, right?
Yeah, and I think part of it and that I have to get over is that I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, and I don't like to mess up. And so stumbling over my words frustrates me, and, you know, things like that. But that's something that I have to let God handle, you know, not be so proud.
Hey, have you had a chance to meet or talk with others who also have tetrafocomelia? I'm going to get it. I really am. especially those who are maybe younger who can seek encouragement from you.
Yeah. When I was younger, I attended Alfred I. DuPont in Delaware, and there was another little girl there who had no arms or legs, and she actually had less than I do, and she was a little bit younger. And so since we were kids, my encouragement consisted of just playing with her, which I had no idea I was, you know, helping her in any way at the time. I was just a little girl. But yeah, I do know a couple of other people that are in the same situation as me, but I've found that they have come up with ways of their own to overcome challenges, and some of them are similar to the way that I conquer mine, and some of them aren't. But I don't really have any close friends that have it.
It's called the Why Me Project, and it's really a chance in the peaks and the valleys in life where we ask ourselves that question, God, why me? Why am I put into this situation? Can you think of or maybe there's many why me moments in your life?
Like I said before, because of the faith of my parents instilled in me, I kind of always knew from the beginning that God had a purpose for me. I didn't always know what that purpose was, but I knew that he doesn't make mistakes, and that I was born this way for a reason. And I know now that is to glorify him and to show him that, like I said, you can do all things through Christ. So I never actually really had the why me. I did have a period of dark time when I was in my 20s where I definitely felt like a burden to my parents and the people around me, because as independent as I am, there are things that I still need help with. So that was something that I had I had to work through with the Lord. But like I said, the why me? I don't think I ever went through that, and I don't know if that sounds, I don't want that to sound arrogant or extremely confident, because I'm totally not either of those things. But I think it's just because of the faith that my parents instilled in me, that I'm not a mistake and that I'm here for a reason.
And that's a message that I think we all need to hear, that, you know, you're not a mistake, you're here for a reason. Was there a moment, though, where suddenly the faith, you know, your relationship with God really did become your own relationship, and it wasn't just something your parents were instilling in you?
Yeah, and that was that time where I said that I was in a dark place where, you know, I was feeling like a burden. And like I said, I had made the decision at age 7 to ask the Lord into my heart. And then in high school, I started to fall away a bit. You know, I still wanted to do his will, but, you know, a teenager kind of wants to do their own thing sometimes as well. And so I wasn't always in his will. When I graduated, my mom gave me a new Bible. You know, I just began to read it again and fall in love with the Lord again and want to do his will. And in fact, that's actually when the dark time started, was shortly after that. And I don't know if, you know, it was because I was wanting to be in his will, that, you know, that's kind of when Satan likes to attack us. When you're at your darkest, that's when you make the decision to either turn away from God or run towards him. And I'm so thankful that I ran towards him. And I remember that moment, you know, whenever I'm feeling down at other times, am I going to run towards him or am I going to run away from him? And, you know, I try my hardest to run towards him every time. So
there is rumors that there's a GoFundMe page. Can you explain a little bit about what it is and what we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so this wonderful nonprofit organization called Caring Heart has started this GoFundMe campaign in my honor to try and raise funds for a van that would allow me to be able to drive. So that's my next thing to conquer. and I know I can do it. I did have an evaluation back in September where they had me in a parking lot driving a modified van, and I did pretty well, and they were they assured me that I could handle this. But unfortunately, not only does just a handicap van cost a lot of money, but especially one that would be equipped for me to be able to drive. And so, like I said, Caring Heart started this campaign in my honor, and we're raising funds for that. And if you'd like to check it out, it's gofundme.com/armsaroundamy. We're really trusting God for a new vehicle. If it's in his will that it's one that I can drive, that would be amazing. But at this point, the van we have right now is about 20 years old, and the lift has followed me. The lift that gets me in has followed me for over 25 years.
Wow.
And so we really just need a new vehicle, but we're leaving it in God's hands, whether, you know, he would like me to be on the road, because my mom says, as soon as I get my license, she's giving up hers.
She's like, Amy, it's time you drive me around.
Well, no, she doesn't want me on the road.
I got you.
Oh, that's even better.
You know, as soon as somebody tells me I can't do something, then I really want to do it, you know?
Yeah. Would you say that learning to drive a van would be one of your biggest challenges to date? Or has there been something else learning that has been a big challenge?
That would definitely be a ginormous challenge for me. I mean, I know that I can do it. Like I said, I've drove just in the parking lot, just to, you know, but I know that I'm able to do it. I'm sure that this is going to be a huge challenge, and a lot of, I think they said 65 hours that I need to go through of training. So yeah, it's going to be a big deal, but I'm looking forward to it. If I'm able to do that, if we're able to accomplish that.
But, and I mean, let's look at it this way too, because somebody's like, well, a new van's not going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, how is this going to be so expensive? But you got a new van, plus you got to have the equipment to then convert it for you to be able to drive it, plus the training and the modification. It's like $150,000.
Exactly. Yes.
That's not no pocket change either.
No,
it's not. And then you have to pay for insurance, which has to be higher than normal insurance just because the van costs more. There are a lot of things to consider, and my parents are on fixed income. They're both retired and in their 80s. You know, finances don't really make it easy for us, you know. especially for any handicapped person, there are definitely things medical-wise and, you know, things that cost more for us to be able just to live, you know. So those are challenges that we face every day.
Other than the GoFundMe page and, you know, you really just conquering the world, what else do you want to accomplish? What else is on that list for you?
I'd like to skydive.
I was going to ask. So this is perfect. I love this.
That is not on my list. Yeah. So hats off to you.
I think that I would be terrified once I got up there. So, you know, it's all talk right now, but it is on my bucket list.
All right, we're going to follow closely to see if this ever happens.
How does she do it? Skydiving with Amy Brooks. Well, Amy, appreciate you. For those who want to check out, for those who want more information to kind of follow you and your life, amybrooks.org as well. You can check her out on Twitter. It is @AuthorAmyBrooks. We appreciate you taking a minute out of your day and hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was so nice to talk to you.
I also want to mention as well that you could follow her on Instagram. It is @Lolly_pup.
Yes, an amazing story. Also, if you check out her YouTube channel, it is called How Does She Do It?
I've been watching, actually, my kids and I have been watching a lot of them because they're like, Dad, I don't understand. Because I said, hey, we're going to talk to Amy. Mm-hmm. They said, who's Amy? And then I kind of explained and they said, well, how does she do it? I said, well, guess what? There are videos to answer those questions.
Yeah, it's just I think, hey, one day maybe I'd like to sew, and yet she just does it.
Yeah.
And I love her can-do attitude, her positivity, how she doesn't lament on the past. It's literally just, well, I got some amazing parents out of the deal. And so she just has such a great attitude and such a great story.
Yeah, there really is no more excuses when it comes to Amy. And that's kind of what I've noticed over the last little while. I'm like, we are all on a different walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we deal with those situations. And a lot of times we can look to others who maybe have gone through something like that. And it's interesting because we received an email. It's whymeproject@outlook.com. I would love for you to share your story as well. Andrea had said that I've been struggling a lot, and it's nice to hear stories from people who I respect or people who have gone through the muck and are where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this comes in as a form of encouragement, because it is different people, different walks of life, different areas, different ways that they've dealt with it. And not necessarily are you going to go through the same thing, but it goes to show that you can come out on the other side of it and learn from that.
Yeah, exactly. And then the lessons that you learn, you can also share with someone else.
And that's why we say to continue to share something like this, to tell your friends, tell your family, because they could be going through something where they can go back through the episodes and it's somebody that we talked to that's gone through something.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage and share. You could reach out to us. It is @WhyMeProject or @WhyMeProject@outlook.com. If you want to send an email, you could jump on all of the different ways to get our podcast, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, among others.
Yes, so many. But of course, you can always check us out online at faithstrongtoday.com.
faithstrongtoday.com. We explore faith and Christianity within modern culture. We're always there for you, whenever and however you want. Find fresh podcasts like Between the Grooves with James Curtis and Drew Brown. Join them every week as they talk to worship leaders, Christian artists, and music industry insiders, exploring the connection between music and faith. You'll hear from today's best talent, both north and south of the border. Johnny Rocket and Holly Taylor search for life's unscripted moments on the Why Me Project. Hear uplifting, biblically based podcasts like Grow on the Go with Donna and Kevin Carter. On the Sweet Spot with Diana Michael Pinball Clemens, they want to help you discover God's great grace, mercy, and peace, and are often joined by inspiring guests. You'll find both entertaining and enlightening videos. Watch or listen to new programs shared every day. You're invited to deepen your relationship with God. Watch, listen, read, and share at faithstrongtoday.com.